China. Titties. Labia. Ovaries. Broadcast.
And welcome to the broadcast. I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show.
Yay, welcome.
Woo! This show is especially important because now all the broadcasters are officially the same age.
Yes.
Yesterday was Amanda's birthday.
Yay. Now I'm officially almost a cougar.
Very cool.
And it feels pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, welcome to the club. That's awesome.
How was your birthday? Did you have a good day?
It was an okay day. I went to work, which I realized maybe in the future I won't do anymore. I'll take the day off.
Nice.
It was just like a regular day. Like, no one really, like, wished me a happy birthday. And I was a little, like, birthday blues. Like, But it got better. I treated myself to a pedicure afterward. And, my boyfriend and I actually share a birthday, which, yes, I know is kind of weird. Not kind of, it is weird. It's super weird. But now, as this is year two of our shared birthday, I'm a little more comfortable with it. So we both met up after work, and we went to the Campbell apartment in Grand Central, which is like this fancy cocktail place, and we had martinis, and
ooh,
we went and we got oysters, and it was like a super classy adult feeling birthday.
Nice.
We went to Grand Central Oyster Bar for dinner, which is not as kitschy as you think it would be. It's actually a really nice place to go. But we were like sitting in between these two old couples, like that sort of old New York have been there for forever. Like, you know, they're having their like fish and their potato and their
aww,
vegetable. And they were just like super adorable. And it was just like, so either we're way early, but it was super cute, and it was really nice. Then we bought cupcakes, which we didn't eat, but we will eat them when we're done recording tonight.
Ooh, yay!
So the day ended on a really awesome, strong note, so that was good.
Awesome. Nice. What'd you get? Anything good? I know, we get, like, no presents as we get older, so it's kind of a stupid question to ask.
I know. Yeah, no, we did presents for each other. I got him some growlers, some crowlers there, big giant cans of a brewery that he really likes in his old neighborhood. And then he went up to me, like, ridiculous. he is going to take us to the palace for tea.
Aww. That's
or not
awesome.
The plaza.
The plaza. I figured that you meant did not mean the palace.
We're gonna be
but
freaking Eloise, and we're gonna I'm a weirdo, and it's just something I've always wanted to do.
Oh, that's awesome, though. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
This is Amanda's birthday show. This whole show is dedicated to you and your
32-ness. This is my life.
Woo! Awesome.
Wonderful. Well, how about everybody else? What did everybody else do this weekend, this past
Wait, hold on. Decade? Cheers. Cheers. I see you
cheers,
with your rosé.
Yes,
cheers.
Yep. Cheers.
Oh, man. I'm drinking beer again.
I know. I almost drank beer, and then I was like, this wine, I opened it last night. I might as well finish it tonight.
Yeah, well, you only have so much time.
Exactly.
This is the wine from last week.
Yes.
So it was drinking tonight, or it's going to go bad.
Exactly.
I'm moving over to beer after I'm done with this.
Every time I drink something like and it's about to go bad, I think of in Arrested Development where Lindsay and Lucille are like, the vodka will go bad.
I don't think that's how it actually works.
Oh, that's my favorite
show.
I can
rewatch that. It's so good.
It's so good. Anyway, Shandy, do you have any fun things that you did?
I had a fun weekend, like nothing to, you know, report back about really. There was the soccer game. I don't know if anyone who listens or any of you follow soccer. I really don't, but
soccer or football? God, that was the lamest, whitest old person thing I could say. Sorry, continue.
Yep. So there was the game between France and Portugal. And my husband being from France was obviously super into it. So we had a bunch of people over for brunch. And, you know, whatever, like soccer dudes are pretty hot. And we got to have brunch and champagne. So that was good too. So it was a really fun day just doing that. But yeah, that's about it. Nothing too crazy or too exciting.
We did have our debate.
That sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah,
that sounds nice. Super fun.
All good stuff.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really do much this weekend, I don't think. But this upcoming weekend, I have big plans. Big plans, ladies.
Yeah.
Big plans.
Yeah?
Yes.
I'm excited.
I am going to a matinee of the new Ghostbusters movie with Jay.
Oh, those are
by plans. Yourself?
No. So Jay and I are going to go to... We're going to go to Five Guys because that's where we had our first date. So once in a while, we like to go back there and be like, oh, look how cute we are. we're going to go to Five Guys and then we're going to go to see Ghostbusters. And back when I lived in New York still, I used to fly in early in the morning on Saturday and then fly out like at 6 a.m. on Monday. We used to, every Sunday that I'd be here, we would go to North Hills, which is like a area, the shopping center. Amanda, I may have taken you guys there, actually. It's where we got the smoothies. I don't know if you ever...
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
There's a movie theater there. There's a Five Guys, which is where we went on our first date. And then they have a restaurant called Fox and Hound, and they have Corona Ritas there. So what we used to do was, if we went to a Sunday night movie, we used to do like tequila shots and just get kind of drunk and then go see a movie and then sober up by the time we came home. You know, we'd see like an 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock movie and then come home and then, you know, go to sleep or whatever. So we are going to do that. It's just going to be in the middle of the day because we're on hashtag parent time.
Hey, day drinking is probably the best time to do it. So
I guess. I don't know. There was
I actually prefer day drinking nowadays than I do to going out at night.
I don't know. Because there's still that thing where after you day drink where you kind of, you know, have that awesome buzz and like life is great. And then you sober up and you're like, fuck, it's only 5 o'clock in the afternoon. What am I supposed to do with the rest of the day?
No, you have to continue a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And then just either like, I don't know, lay on the couch and watch a movie or just go to bed.
That's true. I think
you just day drink till the sun goes down.
Did I ever?
And then you go down too.
Did I ever tell you the story about when my sister Christy was here in April? Amanda, I don't know if I told you. I know it was the week before I went to Gar's bachelorette party. So I know I told them because they were like, ha ha, when's the last time you got drunk? And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, I got drunk at 8 o'clock in the morning last Sunday with my sister who happens to be 27. So take that. Okay. I'm so cool. So Christy is my youngest sister. She came to visit us in April because she's actually in New Zealand right now, and she was leaving at the end of April for 3 months, so she'll be there through August. So she came to visit us and see Zach, but she Saturday night, and she was like, I want to have mimosas tomorrow morning. And I was like, I have champagne, but I don't have any like orange juice or cranberry juice or whatever. Cause I like I guess they're called poinsettias. I love cranberry juice mimosas. So we sent Jay out to Target at like 8:30 at night. And we were like, please go get us some cranberry juice so we can drink tomorrow morning. And we drank, I swear to God, it wasn't even 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was thinking that we were going to do it like brunch time. It was going to be like 10, like we'd have some, I was going to make like eggs or something. And it was going to be like, you know, all adorable and brunchy. And it was like 8:55. And she was like, so where's the mimosas? And I was like, really now? And then I was like, okay, you're over 30. Okay, control yourself. Go with what the young kids know. And so we made these mimosas. Jay had like a sip and was like, I'm good. So we split the whole thing by ourselves. And then we took Zach to the playground at like 10:30. We came back at like 11:30 and I took a 2 hour nap on the couch. Christy and Jay were watching like Fixer Upper or something on TV. Like they were watching, I don't even remember what they were watching because I slept through it, but they were like, let's watch this. And I was like, that sounds great. So that was my super awesome story of champagne. But that said, yes, sorry. I got way off topic as I tend to do. My awesome weekend upcoming is going to be Ghostbusters and alcohol. And then we're hoping that we can kill enough time after the movie to get home post bedtime. Zach has lights out by 8 o'clock now. So we told his sisters, we're like, we're going to be home at like 9-ish. I kind of imagine them, and I have no idea, but I kind of imagine them being like, oh, great.
That's the hardest part of babysitting, getting the kid to bed.
It really is, especially when you have a kid like mine that is so high energy that he never stops.
When is Comic-Con? Because I thought that's what your big plans were going to be next week.
Comic-Con is next Tuesday, the 19th. We leave the 19th, and then we get back the following week. So you may hear us next week, and you may not hear us next week. We'll see. I might be in Comic-Con. But you can always follow Shandy's Snapchat.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, follow me on Shandy_Candy is my Snapchat.
That's your Snapchat for real? I didn't know
that. That's fun.
That is fun.
Yes, that is fun. Have I ever told you about Candy?
Is that your stripper name or something? No.
Essentially, that's it's kind of like my alter ego-ish.
Is that your Sasha Fierce?
Yeah.
Oh, please tell me you get that reference.
Can you put me out of my misery?
Beyonce's alter ego when she goes on stage is Sasha. So it wasn't her like album
Beyonce
called...
has an alter ego?
Yeah, yes. One of her albums was I Am Sasha Fierce.
Yes, thank you.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's just... I have a blonde wig that I like to don from time to time.
Just like Beyonce.
Wow. Okay.
Shandy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure I did it first, though. This goes back. Anyway, and when I wear my blonde wig, I'm Candy because I kind of like. I imagine that if I ever had gone into stripping, that would have been my stripper name, because it rhymes with my actual name and is, you know, one of those names that you identify as being like, oh yeah, that's
stripper.
Yeah.
It's not a real person's name.
Right. And so when I got Snapchat, it was like, this is the most ridiculous app ever. So like on all other social media, I'm just like my first name, last name. But for Snapchat, I was like, no, I should have something ridiculous to match the ridiculousness of the app. So yeah.
Fair enough. I think my Snapchat is Colleen429, and I'm a horrible... I used to be awesome at Snapchatting, but I've kind of failed. Once I realized how much data it took up, I had to stop using it.
Yeah. My usage also ebbs and flows, but and sometimes it's just a bunch of cats, but sometimes it's fun.
I will say Cooking with Shandy was a fantastic series. So Shandy used to snap. Yeah. So you used to get drunk while cooking and Snapchat the whole thing. And it was pretty spectacular. I think it was when I fell in love with you for real. I was like, this is amazing.
That's great. I love this.
It was so good. It was awesome, Amanda. It was so funny. Like, she'd be like, and then you put the half a cup of water in the thing. And when you do that, you take a drink of wine. And then like 17 Snapchats later, she'd be like, and then you take it out of the oven.
I had to stop because it was a lot of like just getting drunk by myself.
Dude, I love getting drunk by myself.
Me too. I can be as emo as I want. It's also probably not good, but still.
Yeah, dude, I think there is nothing wrong with like getting home by yourself on like a Friday night and just getting tanked.
Hey, you know. I support that. Yeah. But this is like,
not all the time.
It was too much. Yeah.
Every now and again, I think there is nothing wrong with that.
Every now and again, yes.
Every now and again, if you want to coke, just, you know, stay away from up in flame.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? In Snapchat, you can download your videos, and the best one I did save, so I can maybe post.
Is that the one
somewhere
where you created the salad or whatever it was? That's the
it
one I'm thinking
really
of. Where
long.
You, it's long, and you like had the empty wine bottle. You open the wine bottle to start, and you finish it with the empty wine bottle.
Yes.
That is the best. But anyways, before I forget, we have to thank our patrons. So we are a part of the Jay and Jack Network. So that means if you are one of their patrons, you are one of our patrons. If you're thinking about it, please consider being a patron. You can sign up at any level from $1 to like $500. So check it out. It's patreon.com/jayandjack. And I can check right now. I believe they have 131 patrons. Yeah, so they currently it is up to, they've broken that 800 a month barrier. The next goal is at $1,000 a month, and that is a live married man show. But we are going to add that level of Shandy burning a bra. We just need to figure that out.
Yes.
But that said, we do have a bunch of different perks set up, and it will help us, actually, the three of us, too. So if you are thinking of being a patron, head on over there. That would be awesome. So I guess on other podcast, air quotes, business news, we have a feed on iTunes, which I assume you know about if you're listening to this. If you would like, we would love it if you could go give us a review. You can search for us on iTunes or your podcatcher, The Broadcast, and you'll see our little logo. It says our names in bright yellow on there. So
can't miss it.
Should not be able to miss it, but we have 9 reviews, and it's actually kind of awesome. So thank you to everybody that left us a review.
Yay. Yeah. So, and one of them that I liked in particular is called Girls Night, !! by this long number.
Which we think is a phone number, and we've already been responsible for one person being accidentally called, so we won't read it out loud.
Right, exactly. But this person gave us a 5-star review, which was really nice, and said, whether you listen with a glass of wine on your sofa or dodging traffic on your way to work, these girls will make you pee your pants or spit your wine out with laughter. An awesome girls' night in, and also great for guys to get some insight into the minds of women who may or may not be cougars. So, yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much. So please, if you have a moment and you can consider leaving us a review, that's awesome. That's how we get recognized on iTunes. So that's why people are always plugging for iTunes reviews. Not because we have giant egos, just because, well, I guess we have giant egos.
Yeah, but no, you're right. It helps with like the algorithm. It makes us more
desirable,
search friendly.
Yeah,
search findable. Friendly. I went to desirable. You went to the I'm still a woman, guys. I'm programmed to want to be more desirable.
Desire me.
But anyway, thank you to everyone that's left to serve you so far, and thank you to our patrons. So, in honor of Amanda's birthday, because this is Amanda's birthday show, I found this awesome article somewhere, probably Facebook. It is called 13 Fucks You Stop Giving When You're a Grown Woman. So Amanda,
32 is grown woman.
Are you ready to be a grown woman?
Oh, I suppose. I mean, no. Hell yeah. I don't give any fucks.
This
I don't even know what the fucks to give are, but I want to find out.
This is the podcast where we make you a woman. All right.
Let's hear these things.
So, number one is stop giving a fuck about other people's opinions. Other people's opinions, especially when they're about you, should be moot once you've become a grown woman. It's when you let the opinions of others dictate your life that your life becomes a cesspool of negativity and waste.
It's a good one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are some people, like, obviously, like, my husband's opinion matters to me.
Yes.
But, yeah, like, most other people, not so much.
I also want to point out the irony of us being like, please give us a review on iTunes.
It's true. I feel like this is one that's, like, it's easier said than done. Like, I know I super struggle with, like, not caring about what other people think. I think there is something that's sort of innately part of being a female human that makes you want to care and want to be liked.
Mm-hmm. That is true, but I have to say that I used to not give a fuck, and then I gave a fuck when I started podcasting with Metro Buzz, because I think Amanda probably may remember this, but people were super mean to me when I first started dating Jay. And they like left like mean reviews on there because I was on a Ramblecast with them, and I wrote a blog post about this actually maybe 2 years ago. It was like very cleansing, but like they were really mean and they had to shut the comments down on the post. And so then I started caring, and then I got to a point where I just didn't give a fuck anymore. I've just been like, all right, internet, come at me, whatever. And then there was a time where the Harry Potter community came at me, and I trolled them all.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a long story, but I had done a Harry Potter artwork thing, and it was on my blog, and somebody contacted me from one of the Harry Potter websites, and I won't say which one, but they were super awesome, and they were like, can I feature your blog post on this thing that we're doing? And I was like, oh my God, yes, absolutely. So they did, and I got a lot of hate for it, because what I had done was I made coasters out of a book that I had found at the flea market. It was a Sorcerer's Stone. It was a it was a book that was completely falling apart, and
it had been super loved.
Yes, it had been super loved. I got it for like 50 cents at the flea market, and I decided to take these pages that were falling out and cut them up and make them into coasters. And like, this was in 2014, because I remember being on my maternity leave, and I just didn't give a fuck. And I thought that for sure that I would have been like, oh, these people hate me. So I got all this hate on the post, like, how dare she desecrate books? This woman clearly hates, you know, hates reading and needs to be put, somebody was like, she needs to be stoned to death. And I went through, my sister-in-law, she defended me to the death. And I was like, don't worry about it. I went through and I trolled them all, like every negative comment. I was like, you're right. The person that did this, seriously, she does not deserve to live. And I made all these comments like that down the row. And I had the best time. And I believe it was like 2 a.m. and I was like exhausted and I was nursing. And I was like, this is giving me life right now. And I did, and my sister-in-law was like, I'm so mad for you. And I was like, don't be mad, don't be mad. This is actually a fun game. And then there were a couple of people that recognized my name and was like, are you Jay's wife? And I was like, why, yes, I am. They're like, oh, sorry, we love Lost. And I was like, yes, you do.
Oh, the tables turn.
Don't you feel like an asshole now? So I would say I was 30 when I made that turning point, and I just didn't give a fuck. And I was like, I'm going to have so much fun with this. And I did. I had a blast. But moving on, since...
Wait, what happened to the coasters?
I did Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter ones. And I gave one to each of my sisters.
Nice.
Anyways, moving on. Two, giving a fuck about ridiculous fashion rules. No white after Labor Day? Fuck it. No horizontal stripes unless you're a size 0? Fuck that fucking shit. No bikini or miniskirt after 30? In the immortal words of Bikini Kill, suck my left one. Seriously.
I guess this is something that I've just never cared about. So I have a really easy time not caring about it as a 32-year-old.
Does it help living in California where your seasons are a lot less than us out here?
I hate the weather here.
said only you.
Yeah, how very refreshing.
It's like, the thing is, like, it's not, I don't live in like California like when you think of California. I live in a place where it's basically always, the temperature is between 56 and 64. And when it's 56, people complain that it's freezing. And when it's 64, people complain that it's, like, so hot. And it's constantly just, like, foggy and depressing. Anyway. Yeah, no, I would like to wear, like, cute winter clothes again. But of my own choosing. But not, yeah. Who cares what the rules are.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I actually found my fashion sense got better the less I cared about other people's and what was trendy. Like, once I just started dressing for myself, I feel like I got more fashionable.
Fair enough.
Which is kind of ironic, but yeah.
Fair enough.
But it makes total sense, because you figure out like what looks good on you and what you like to wear, and you don't have to worry about all these like superficial constraints.
Well, that is two different things, though. What looks good on you and what you like. I still feel like I'm working on the what looks good on me. I just go for the what I like.
Well, so, you know, I think that's the number one.
That one will come with like 33.
There you go.
Okay, what's the next one?
All right, so the next one, and I feel like I should credit the author of this before I go on and forget. This is by Amanda Chattel, and it's at theBOLDE.com. All right, so number three, giving a fuck about your ex. You broke up for a reason, and that reason is probably somewhere between him being awful and him being the worst, so it's your job to not give any fucks about him or what he might think of you.
Amen.
There you go. Number four, giving a fuck about being polite in bed. As a grown-ass woman, you're not just a walk-on in your bedroom, but the fucking star. If you don't get what you want and how you want it, you throw being polite out the window and woman the fuck up about it.
Yes. So many times, yes. I think this comes with definitely with age.
Because you have more confidence and more experience.
Yes. I was going to say age and experience and, like, it can be hard, I think, for anyone to, like, really say what they want and be able to say what they want, and maybe even more so for women. So, yeah, it's, but being, I mean, ladies, can we just say it? Like, being a 30-something-year-old woman is fucking amazing.
Yes, I would say.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind it.
All right.
Like, specifically in certain areas.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, number five.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we know. Oh, yeah. We know. Giving a fuck about biting your tongue. While in your earlier years, some situations may have called for biting one's tongue, it's time to fuck that. If someone says or does something that pisses you off or disrespects you in any way, then speak up, even if that person is your boss. I slightly disagree about even if that person is your boss, because sometimes girl gotta get paid, but everything else I agree with.
Yeah, and maybe you figure out more ways to, like, more subtly, like, handle those situations of standing up to your boss and, like, how you can do it and what's the limit and how, like, how you can toe that line.
Yeah, learning tact. There is a nice way to deliver nasty news.
Yes.
That's it. Tact. All right. Next. Stop giving a fuck about ending toxic relationships. Some people are bad for us! Exclamation point. Some people, even if they're not cognizant of it, are horrific, toxic influences in our life. You have no more fucks to give them, or what your life would be like without them. It won't be a loss, that's for sure. I totally agree.
Yeah, I love how much attitude is going into the way that you're reading these.
I may have practiced before we started.
Yeah, you're really, like, channeling a character, and I really like her. Yeah.
So who's my Sasha? Who's my Candy?
Sasha seems so boring. Why does Beyonce need an alter ego? That woman's Beyonce.
Well, we know.
I think
Sasha.
My alter ego would be Beyonce.
I need a name for my alter ego that's got an attitude right now. Do we have a name?
Yeah.
Throw it out to our listeners.
Yes, please.
What's Colleen's Sasha Fierce?
But number seven, stop giving a fuck about your mistakes. Your mistakes do not define you. They're merely pieces in your life that have made you who you are. That is all. Mistakes do not hold you back. Do not open doors to judgment or ruin your life. They're necessary obstacles, and not only do you not give a fuck about them, but you're practically grateful for them.
Dude, this, like, resonates so much with me.
Me too.
Like, this is going to sound so nerdy, but I was literally thinking about regret earlier today and how, like, I don't really regret things. And I think that this is why. Like, it's not that I don't give a fuck about my mistakes, but, like, that's an opportunity to learn something and do something differently next time.
Yes.
And have a better outcome. And so, like, I just don't think that that's worth regretting.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think that's super healthy. Like, this is another one that I super struggle with, that I am just such a perfectionist and I'm so hard on myself. You know, and I think a lot of instances in my younger years sort of instilled this mistakes are not okay. Mm. And so teaching myself that, like, no, particularly in the creative field that I work in, mistakes are great, and we should not condemn mistakes, because you learn more from a mistake than you do from getting it right every time. And so this is one that I personally have been working really, really hard on myself to stop fuck giving. Hashtag grammar.
Hashtag sure.
Hashtag I love it.
I love it too. No, I totally agree with you guys. All right, number eight. Stop giving a fuck about fitting in. Some people spend their whole lives trying to fit in only to realize that those who want to belong are just fucking boring. Like, why would anybody want to be another sheep among millions of sheep? No, thank you. You fly your freak flag and row solo.
Yes.
I fucking love the freaks and the weirdos. They're the best.
Yep.
Number nine, giving a fuck about social media. In some not-so-breaking news, social media is not real life. People liking your tweet or unfriending you on Facebook is not something to get your panties in a twist over. In other words, you have no fucks to give on this front.
Amen.
I have to say that I still give all of the fucks about this front.
It's hard. It's like, you know, so much of your life you spend like checking all those various outlets. So
yeah, it's kind of like as soon as I read that, I was like, shit, I got to check my Instagram. Even though I haven't posted a new Instagram in 2 days, I just got to check it. I got to make sure.
Yeah. It's one of those easier said than done ones, I think, for a lot of people.
I get really excited whenever I have interactions on Twitter, and it's probably because I don't have very many followers, so it's like super exciting. But yeah, it's a good point. I don't like, I think the unfriending thing, I don't notice that stuff. Unless it's somebody that I'm actually friends with that I interact with on a regular basis, then I would be sad. Yes. And I think you can give a fuck about that because you can be like, why did this friendship just end?
That's true. I have noticed there was somebody who I won't name that I was friends with, and this person unfriended me but did not unfriend other people that I knew. And I was a little, like, butthurt about it. Like, I was like, what the fuck? What, I'm not important anymore just because whatever? Like, I was pissed. And then at some point I stopped giving a fuck and forgot about it.
Did you say butthurt?
I did. I said butthurt.
I've never heard that before. That's pretty great.
Thanks.
Oh, really?
Happy birthday. Oh, I just taught you the word butthurt.
Well, I don't think you taught it to me. I've just never heard it in that context.
Like, wait,
oh, that's people use in general conversation. Okay, that's cool.
So you've heard in the actual, like, my butt hurts.
I suppose so. Yeah.
There are so many questions that I want to follow up on, but we've got a lot of feedback, so I don't think I can. Yeah.
I'm not giving a fuck in the bedroom is making me butt hurt.
I'm sorry, Amanda, what were you going to say?
No, nothing. I think we're I'm done. Nice question.
All right. Almost done with these. 10, giving a fuck about having the perfect body. You have the perfect body for you, and that's all that matters. Now reach for those Doritos and order another pizza, for fuck's sake, woman.
Yeah, dude, I want to go get some freaking chips and salsa right now.
Do it. You know, I was actually I'm very body conscious and I work out a lot, but I have recently been like, whatever. I'm kind of like, I had Krispy Kreme for breakfast this morning, and I have to say that I didn't feel guilty. Like, I didn't even sit down and was like, man, like 2 years ago, I would have been pissed at myself for this. But now I'm like, are there any more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should definitely try to eliminate the guilt factor from food. But I don't know. I think it's great to be health conscious and like work out and try to be healthy, because like you're gonna feel better and you're gonna live longer, and that's good for you. But like, I do not skip dessert. I will never skip dessert. I think it's okay to eat whatever you want, as long like if you can master the art of moderation, which is easier said than done.
Now,
then you can really have kind of whatever you want. I mean, you know, barring like certain illnesses and whatnot.
I have to admit that I always skip dessert because I prefer to have more wine.
Oh, well, see, I'll just have both. Because
I'm not like a sweet tooth person. I'll eat the chips until the cows come home. But like cake, you know. I'm not a chocolate or cake or sweets person. I'm a salty person. Because you can only be one. You know how most people are on the one or the other?
That's you both? Remember one year in your stocking, I got you garlic salt.
You did? Oh, I love garlic salt. Every time I make an omelet, I use garlic salt in my omelet. I swear, yeah. I kid you not.
You know, it's like two in one.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Why?
Amanda, I still have our stockings.
Oh, good. That makes me happy.
I do. I can't bring myself to like throw them out or anything. And I'm always like,
I'm a sentimental bastard.
Yes.
Too,
and every year I take out the Christmas stuff and I'm like, oh, there's the stockings Amanda and I made.
Yep. Yeah. When I was moving, I realized I don't throw out cards. Like any kind of birthday card, Christmas card, anything. Aww. I don't throw it out. So I have I had boxes of cards.
Yeah.
So I did have to purge a little bit, but it was really nice going through them and like, oh, look, people love you.
Mm-hmm. And number 11, giving a fuck about status symbols. Owning a Louis Vuitton bag or only wearing Chanel makeup is not going to make you a better person. Also, who even knows if that mascara is Dior or fucking Maybelline?
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. I'm not a big proponent of makeup. Anyway, but
I'm a makeup girl. That is my indulgence to myself. And I would argue there is a difference sometimes
between
the expensive stuff and the not. But
there
it's knowing where is the difference and where's not the difference. Like what can be drugstore and what you should spend the money on. Mascara you should spend the money on.
Well, my sisters have the expensive makeup, and there's been times where I've forgotten my makeup in Raleigh or whatever and used theirs, and I will admit their mascara just applies a lot nicer.
Yep.
So although nobody really knows, it is sometimes you can tell when you're putting it on. Number 12, giving a fuck about what you can't control. And that's why I'm in therapy. There will always be things that are out of your control, and when you quit giving a fuck about them, you'll finally feel free.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another hard one.
It's a good one, though.
It really is. It's so hard.
Really good one.
Because there's certain things you can control, like yourself, and then there's certain things you can't.
Yep.
Like what everybody
else.
Like everyone else.
Number 13, giving a fuck about not giving a fuck. I love this one. In life, you need to choose your battles. You need to decide what deserves your fucks and what doesn't. When you give a fuck, give it 150%. When you don't give a fuck, also give it 150%. You should never half-ass anything, especially your fucks.
That's true. Fucks are a very valuable commodity.
Never half-ass a fuck.
Exactly.
Always whole-ass your fuck.
Thank you, Amanda Chattel.
Don't half-ass your fucks.
Thank you, Amanda Chattel, for this wonderful list.
Amen. This was great.
Yes.
All right. So I guess we should get into some feedback because we've got a nice amount of it.
Yeah.
Yay. We have so much.
I know. This is exciting. I'll start with the Facebook one if you guys are cool with that.
Sounds good.
So we had a lot of awesome feedback starting with the talk we had last week about the name of your vagina based on the last movie that you saw. So we start with KJ, Kelly Jo, who doesn't go by Kelly Jo anymore, but that's okay. You're always going to be Kelly Jo to me, Kelly. So KJ says, so my vagina's name is The Shallows, but before that it was Working Girl.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
CJ Jones, who is a male, says, I don't know exactly what this means, but I'm going to go ahead and rewatch The Hateful Eight before I listen to the podcast. Scott Eric said, with my penchant for classic films, I'm just glad that I had not watched And Then There Were None or The Awful Truth before listening.
Oh, no.
Gregory said, the last movie I watched, it's funny that we had just as many men as women answer this.
I love it.
Gregory said, the last movie I watched was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
So is it the whole thing or is it Indiana Jones or the Temple of Doom?
No, it's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Holy shit. So if you're Indiana Jones, you're way cooler than if you're just the Temple of Doom.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd rather get on Indiana Jones than get on the Temple of Doom.
Well, because then it's like the Temple of Doom. Like, that means no one wants to, come in because it's Doom. There's Doom, so, you know.
Well, Indiana Jones wanted to get in.
Yeah. I guess nobody wants to come in or have you come in. Yeah. Michelle said train wreck. Yep, that sounds about right. Lori, who we called last week by accident. Lori said, loving this podcast halfway through. I'm about a month behind on the Married Man show. LOL. You girls have become a priority. Sorry, guys. So, holla. By the way, her movie was Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising. Which is a spectacular perfect name for a vagina.
Yes.
Moving on, Selena said, I'm so glad that you guys started this show. It's already one of my favorite things to listen to. And Selena has actually been plugging us on Twitter, too. So thank you for that. That's been awesome.
Yeah,
it makes me smile every time because I love Selena. So Selena was on MuggleCast, and I fucking loved her on MuggleCast so much. She was one of my favorites. So, like, having this high praise from her is amazing. Thank you, Selena. She also wants to start a petition for the broadcasters to do a spinoff Buffy Watch podcast, since two of us have never seen it.
Oh,
I'd be down.
Yeah, I'd be down.
So, Shandy, if Survivor is ever canceled, then we can do a Buffy.
So, the next of never.
The next of never. Moving on. So, talking about our discussion about hitting on, CJ says, in my mind, hitting on someone is basically saying, I want to have sex with you. That's a fine desire to have, but it shouldn't be the primary goal or even a goal at all. I've always found that kind of creepy, which is why I've never done it. Flirting falls under the umbrella of normal conversation to me. You're getting to know a person, not treating them like a sex object. And that was great, because I don't think we actually talked about flirting last week, did we?
No.
Which,
I mean, we should get into, like, the... Yeah, no, I don't think we really did.
I'm fine with flirting. Like, that's more innocent. That's more getting to know. So I think CJ was right on the money from a male's point of view, I guess, where, you know, talked about hitting on is such a crude kind of concept. But flirting, I don't know. What do you guys think? I think flirting is cool, is fine.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of gets along to, like, what I was saying last week. Like, I feel the exact same way that, like, hitting on really does have this connotation of, like, I want to sleep with you. I want to get in your pants. Like, it feels kind of dirty. Whereas, like, flirting is this, like, sweet, innocent thing. And,
right.
And I don't know if it's just this how we apply it. But, yeah, I think flirting is the fun part because everyone can take part in it.
Yes. Yeah. So I definitely think
there's no consequence to flirting.
Yes, I think exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and like what you're saying about, like, I guess the hitting on that he's talking about, the, like, I want to have sex with you kind of thing, like, it's basically like trying really hard to pick somebody up, or like having like that being your goal. And I think that for certain people in certain circumstances that might work, but just like you were saying, Amanda, it's like maybe a little bit dirtier. Like, if you don't know the person, how do you know if they like it dirtier or not? You know, like, how you can't gauge how somebody's gonna react. But again, that's also just in, like, your interaction with the person. You have to kind of have a feel for that, and maybe having, I don't know, it depends if you, like, have the social skills to really, like, pick up on that if you're into it or not, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Right.
No, it totally does.
So Gregory then said, I thought Wild was a decent movie. To be honest, I wanted to see it for the naughty scenes, haha, but I did enjoy the movie. Are there naughty scenes? Because there was a whole discussion following this, and I didn't copy down what it was, but it was definitely in contention whether or not this was that kind of movie.
I mean, there are, like, sex scenes, definitely. It's part of the story, but it's, like, not the main focus. It's part of the story, yes. It's definitely there, and it's important that it is there, but... I don't know. It's not a movie about sex.
Word. I didn't think it was. I just thought that was funny. I mean, because it promoted a lot of discussion after, like, I don't know about this.
I mean, and that's fine. But, like, if your goal is really to find a movie with a lot of those naughty scenes in them, which there's nothing wrong with that, I just feel like there are a lot of other movies that might satisfy you more.
I think that was also pointed out in the discussion. Aunt Cindy said, that Wild is a great book, not too thick or time consuming. When I read it first, then saw the movie and got so much more of her journey and growth from the book.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So good. So good.
And then Selena says, oh, I also wanted to add my support for Wild. The book wrecked me. I actually got the audiobook and listened to it over the course of the summer, where I did a lot of hiking slash cleaning out an old house slash outdoor stuff. It was perfect. I was walking around crying all the time. Highly recommended.
It was perfect. I was walking around crying.
No, that's pretty much like, yeah, that's a good summary. But it's like one of those books where it feels real. It's sad. Like, it's legitimately sad. There's sad tears. They're not happy tears, but yeah, like, you'll feel good crying them. It's so good.
Sometimes crying is good. Like, it's very cathartic. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
No, I love a good cry.
It's so beautiful.
Yes. So Wild was one of the things that we spoke about last week, about female-driven media. So we were going to try to mention something every week. Does anybody have anything this week?
Yeah, I do, actually. I have, so here, the last like week or so since we recorded, not even necessarily like meaning to, I have been listening to just like a bunch of podcasts with basically only female co-hosts, and I didn't even really mean to, but it's like, it made me really happy. I realized after doing it for like a week, like, it feels really good. And one of the podcasts that I listen to, is called The Heart. Have you guys heard of The Heart?
Mm-mm. No.
So it's part of Radiotopia, which is the same network that 99% Invisible is on, which I think I mentioned last time, because I like that podcast too. It's a guy co-host, and he's the sexiest voice in podcasting.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Anyway, in my opinion. But so I had heard about The Heart through that, and they have a couple of different miniseries. So it's like four women, I think, are involved: Caitlin, Mitra, Jen, and Sharon. And I listened to the miniseries called Silent Evidence, and I was a little bit dark last week with Wild because it's a sad story. Silent Evidence is even darker because it's the story, the true story of childhood sex abuse. But it is, like, so good. Like, I just like, flew through it. I couldn't stop listening. It's really, really well done. The person, the narrator, who's also the person telling her story, has, like, a really interesting and captivating outlook on the whole situation. And anyway, it's really interesting. So I would highly recommend it to anyone who likes that kind of thing. It's theheartradio.org is where you can find it. And then if you go to listen, there's all their miniseries there. Obviously, if you're like, don't think you can stomach listening to a podcast about childhood sexual abuse, then that's definitely not the one for you. But they have other miniseries that I haven't listened to yet, but which are, some of them are much more lighthearted. So there might be some content there for you, even if it's not your thing. But it was a really good listen, and I can't wait until they come out with some more stuff.
Awesome. I watched Trainwreck. I liked it. I mean, I know it's Judd Apatow, so it's not technically a female created, but I think Amy Schumer,
she wrote it.
Yeah, she wrote it and started it, and it's very, I mean, I've been pretty self-destructive before, so I recognized a lot of the stuff that she was doing. I was like, but I loved it. There were parts, like, it wasn't a perfect movie or whatever, and there were parts that definitely were like, but like, overall, I really liked it. I laughed a lot.
I loved the idea of it. I think it's just, and I think Amy Schumer, I usually love her writing, and I think she's so smart, and
she is a Long Island girl.
Is she really?
She is. She's from Long Island. Yeah. Can't you tell?
My character's supposed to be kind of based off of her.
Yeah.
But I think the script itself had a lot of problems. It sort of like tried to accomplish too much. And so it's like, I just sort of went into like film person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why do you have this random VO? And then you just stop doing it. And then you do it again. Like, that's a weak writing ploy. Like, you don't need it. Get it out. Get it out of your script.
I mean, the ending was ridiculous.
Oh, and the ending was really kind of heartbreaking.
But I won't say anything. Like, it was ridiculous, but I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it. But that said, I mean,
but she was funny. I think Bill Hader, I love him and everything. Like, yeah. I think he's just the bestest.
I do. I love me some Bill Hader. So
yeah, but I had some problems with the continuity of the script.
Fair enough. I loved it though. And then I wanted to bring up, because I am about to start watching the second season of Kimmy Schmidt, and we left out Tina Fey last week.
Oh.
Bad us. Bad. We're all slapping each other.
Yeah.
So no, picture that, if you're a band.
The achievement of my career was making her laugh in a press junket.
Oh.
Whoa.
Tell that story.
Okay, wait, we need that story.
Hold on. Kelly Jo, this story is for you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so I did a press junket for when she did that movie with Steve Carell. It was Date Night.
Oh, yeah.
So I interviewed the two of them. Steve Carell was awesome. Like, super soft-spoken. Like, we had this whole conversation about, like, how they had, like, rain days in L.A., like, how his kids' school would get canceled, like, a snow day because it was raining, just because in L.A. they didn't want to handle the rain, and, like, just as an East Coaster, how ridiculous he thought it was. But, yeah, so during the interview, I forget what I said. You think I'd have this memory, like, burned into my brain, but I, like, had made some off-the-cuff comment, and she laughed, and I was like, oh, interview's over. My life is the best. I'm just going to go leave and melt into a puddle in the corner. So, you know.
So now you've been in the presence. You've been in the presence of Beyonce and Tina.
Yeah.
So you just need Amy Poehler, and your trifecta of amazing women is complete.
Oh, she's so great. I love her so much. I just recently finished Parks and Rec.
Like, I missed
the whole thing. Yeah, I missed the whole thing, and I went back and I have been watching it on Netflix.
It's like, so this past good. Year. I love Parks and Rec.
Yeah, because I got her book, and I was reading her book. And yeah, and it's just everyone I know whose sense of humor I really value and like loves the show. So I was like, you know what? I freaking need to watch this show.
I can't tell you how many times we watched that show and Jay would cry. And I used to always be like, are you crying? And he'd be like, Ben and Leslie, you're so sweet.
I suppose they're kind of like you and Jay a little bit.
High, strong, and laid back, you know.
You know, the hair.
Well,
Jay have very similar hair.
They have very similar hair. I will give you that. Yes. And we also had a lot of drama surrounding our marriage license or whatever it was. Didn't they have to get it signed in the middle of the night or whatever?
Yeah, I forget that.
Yeah. We also had drama surrounding that where we didn't know if we were going to get it or not.
I remember that.
Good times. But it all worked out, just like Ben and Leslie. The only difference, we don't have triplets.
Well, you never know.
Pretty sure that's not going to happen. Good times. All right. We went on a tangent, and now we've got some questions and stuff to get through. So
I have a female media thing.
Okay.
Because I was racking my brain, and I realized also another podcast. If anyone has not already checked them out, She Does. They're on hiatus currently, but you can go back and check out their first two seasons. It's two female filmmakers. Okay. Documentary filmmakers, and each week they interview another female in the media industry in some capacity, and sort of how they got to where they are. As someone who is in media, I found it very, very inspiring just to hear the various roads in which one can pursue a career. And then they started doing, in the second season, a sort of offshoot secondary podcast where all their music for all the episodes are done by female musicians. So then they would do shorter podcasts with the musician on the off weeks.
That's awesome.
So it's really, really, really great. You should be able to find them in the iTunes App Store. She Does.
That is awesome.
Shandy, I think you in particular really, really love it. Like, there's a lot of strong feminism slant. They're really great. They talk to a lot of really interesting women.
Is that hashtag life goals?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I have as much drive, smarts, and creativity as most of those women. So
I don't know. Someday. You have a documentary on iTunes now, and you have a podcast, okay? We get a lot
true.
Of tweet. That
true.
Means something.
That does mean something. That means a whole hell of a lot.
All right, okay. So... We have lots of feedback. And I think that we should start with a call. We have another call from John, who we finished with last week. So let's take it away, John.
Hello, ladies. John Norton calling in here. Thought I'd send you guys an audio file this time because my phone wasn't great last week. Sorry about that. Just a couple things. First, quick comment on the whole maiden name discussion. You guys know I'm pretty traditional in terms of relationship stuff, but one thing I do not care about at all is if a girl wants to take my name when we get married. If she does, I think that's awesome, and I can certainly understand how flattering that can be. But if she doesn't, totally understand that too, and I wouldn't be offended at all. The way I think of it, if tradition was the opposite way, I wouldn't really want to change my name, so I totally understand a girl might want to change her name. So something that I really don't care about at all, and I think that probably is changing, that I think a lot fewer guys really would care about that. I thought I would tell you a bit of a story, though, from when I was probably 11. Met a new friend. He came to our school, and his parents were still together, but his mom went by her maiden name. And I had never heard of this before, because I have plenty of friends whose parents are divorced and now have different last names and everything, but I had never encountered a woman who was married to this guy's father still, but had a different last name. And I didn't like it. And I wanted nothing to do with this, so I refused to call her by that name, and his last name was Fennell. I would always call her Mrs. Fennell and not Ms. King, which is what she went by. And she didn't mind. I mean, I think she actually found it kind of cute, and she understood that, I just had never encountered this before. But yeah, I was like, I want no part in these shenanigans, and I'm not going to be party to it. So the entire time I was friends with the family, never called her Miss King, always Mrs. Fennell. So I share the story with you to show you how far I've come. Also want to make a quick comment about what we talked about last week. Thanks for taking my call, and I think you had some really good advice. A couple things. Number one, the tequila, not going to work for me as I don't drink alcohol, as the three of you know, so that's unfortunately out the window. But in all seriousness, I wanted to maybe try to ask a more pointed question, because I feel like we still haven't quite cracked this topic yet. And that's in terms of, the majority of your advice was essentially like, well, you just gotta talk to girls. Yes, gotta be comfortable talking to girls. The thing is, even though, as I said last week, I know that this whole thing is not really in my bag of tricks and not something I'm that good at, one thing I am pretty good at is talking to people. The problem, though, is this clearly isn't enough. It's clearly not enough to just talk to enough girls and, something will happen. Because you do have the dynamic that you can just be talking to someone and have, just a nice conversation, one human being to another, and nothing more is meant by it, and nothing more comes from it. And I know, personally speaking, I've had more conversations than I can count with girls who I've been interested in, or at least, have thought the potential was there, and I could tell during and after the fact that to them, we were just having a conversation, and there was nothing more going on to them. So I feel like the pointed question would be, what is the middle ground? What is the middle ground between we're just having a conversation and you're coming on way too strong and hitting on someone and being creepy and all the bad stuff we talked about last week? What is that middle ground and how do you get there? With back at Chandy's club story, assuming it wasn't just because of the pickup line that the guy used at the end of the encounter, what made her think that he was interested in her? Aside from like, oh, we were just having a nice conversation. I mean, you can have a nice conversation and not think that person is interested in you romantically. So what made her think that? And then, my question, I guess, would be, what would you recommend to guys, especially, to sort of bridge that gap? That's not simply, oh, I'm just having a nice conversation, but no, I'm having a conversation because I'm interested in you and I want to see where this goes. Because, as I've said, I think a lot of times a guy will try to do that and the girl has no idea that he's interested in her at all. And to the girl, it's just, oh, I'm just having a nice conversation with this guy. And then she's not thinking there's anything more to it. And then sort of just leaves the guy dejected and frustrated. So what is that middle ground? How do we make it clear to a girl, like, hey, I'm interested in you, without coming on too strong, going to that far side of the spectrum, too? So thought maybe we could get into that a little bit deeper, and maybe we can get to maybe some more specifics in that way, because I think that's sort of where the mystery lies. in terms of, you know, well, don't try too hard, just have conversations. Yeah, I get that, and you're right, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. I think there's got to be something more. All right, so I look forward to hearing the show. Thanks, girls. Talk to you later.
All right, so I have to say, I don't think that there's a big mystery. I think you're just overthinking it a lot. But you know what? I'm going to default to you guys. But I also just want to say, are you sure that Mrs. What's-Her-Face found it cute? Like, she might have just been saying that. Like, oh, look at this little shit kid. I'm just kidding.
That's actually...
I'm just kidding.
No, that's... I wanted to address that as well. And luckily, you know, John talks about how much she's changed since then. So, like, yay, that's good that we're kind of all on the same page of like, you know, respecting people. But... like, I think insisting on calling her by her husband's name is just, like, so obviously symptomatic of a very sexist patriarchal society and, like, sort of, like, male privilege of, like, even as an 11-year-old, somebody has somehow the right to call her what he wants her to be called, but she's not allowed to have her own name. So, yeah, I think, thank goodness that nobody, well, thank goodness that John does not think like that anymore, so I'm glad for that. But I do have to wonder, John... first of all, drinking alcohol, we're not saying that you need to drink, although, you know, I think when we talked about it last time, like I even said, like, whatever it is for you that will allow you to let your hair down. So not, it doesn't have to be drinking, but you got to find something where that makes you comfortable. So I think that a lot of this, too, is you saying, how do I let somebody know that I like them, that I'm into them, without going so far as to, like, just outright say that and risk potentially being creepy. And I think that it also comes down to, like you cannot expect a woman to read your mind. So, or if you are thinking something, then you should say it. Use your words, express yourself. And that's part of putting yourself out there, is that maybe you're going to get burned. And if you can't deal, if you're not comfortable for whatever reason, like, yeah, dealing in more subtle cues, then you might have to just speak your mind and say actually what you're thinking. But again, it's not necessarily about, like, going out to pick someone up. Because, I mean, and I know John, obviously, as we've said on the podcast, I know that he's not just, like, looking for, you know, like, he's not looking to pick somebody up, like, for, like, a one-night thing. So I think that's fair to say, probably. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
And so if that's the case, then you should just be trying to make friends with people, and maybe something will go farther than that afterwards. Because you say that you're really good at talking to people and that you've spoken to people before and, like, this just hasn't come through. But I would ask you, like, how many female friends do you have that you see on a regular basis where you live that you're interacting with? How many of those female friendships then are you saying couldn't go anywhere?
I wouldn't even go that far. I just... maybe, and this is shitty to say, but, like, maybe, like, self-awareness, maybe you're not as good at talking to people as you think you are. Like, maybe you think a conversation is going better in your head than it actually is. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know because I'm clearly not there, obviously. I have fine conversations with you. Most of them are over, like, you know, text or whatever. So, and I'm the first person to admit that I need to be edited the fuck out of when I talk. Like, I say the stupidest things. I think that I am spectacular when I talk to somebody over text or whatever, because I can go back and edit or whatever, and or whatnot. You know, maybe you think in your head that something is going better, and maybe the women that you're talking to are not seeing it. They're not getting the vibe the same way that you're getting the vibe. And maybe just because you've got in your head, like, this went really well, like, maybe they didn't even, like, think of it as anything as more than a nice, pleasant, you know, exchange. So you never know. And that's one of the things that I guess we strive to work on with, you know, ourselves is something based on that. And that just goes to, you can have a nice conversation with somebody and not be interested in them, you know, at the same time. Or you could just have a nice conversation with somebody and just not pick up on the vibes that they're putting down. I'm sure that that's happened before. There's a reason that the friend zone exists. So I don't know. I think that you're thinking that talking to women is a bigger mystery than it is. And maybe as a woman, I'm just saying that, but I don't know.
Well, no, I think you touch on that there's no magic pill. There's no magic bullet. There's no one size fits all. But yeah, no, Shandy, I 100% agree with your advice. And that was very much sort of what I was going to say as well. It's just sort of finding your style and finding how you feel comfortable. Yeah. And if just being straight up and honest is what's going to work for you, then do that. Like just saying like, hey, I think you're kind of great. Like I like you. I think as a woman, sometimes that's really to hear someone be so blunt.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, again, not all the time, but there's definitely been instances where other person, I definitely disrespected their balls.
Wait, their what?
Put it out there. Their balls.
Can you
their see? Balls, their vagina, their source of power.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it first. It skipped. That's the thing, right? Like goes back to last week where you have douchebags that have that confidence where they just fucking put it all out there. And I'm not saying be a douchebag, because don't be a douchebag, because that's bad.
No, but, like, it's just being honest. Yeah. It's just saying like, hey, I really enjoy talking to you, and like, I like you.
I think the thing.
I feel the feels.
I feel the feels. I think the thing to keep in mind is that girls are not girls. Women, because we are women at this age, we're women. Women are not
females.
We're not as big a mystery as you think. We want the same things that you want. We do. We want, you know, to be loved, to be cherished, to have a good fuck. Like, we want all the same things that you do. So, especially the older we get. Like, everybody wants stability as they get older. And that's the thing. So, I think that
you're all just looking for a pop.
Yes, it's like hashtag pussy on a pedestal. And it's, and I'm not saying like it's not, because obviously we belong on a fucking pedestal, right, ladies?
I'm afraid of heights.
That's a really good point.
But
that's a really good point. Like, we are all equals, and yes, it's not this mystery, like you said. It's not this men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Like, no, we're all from the planet Earth, and we're all, like, we're socialized differently, but, like, that's also a construction, and we are very much the same. And I think John, even in his call this week, keeps going back to club and stuff, and like that. I think John, you just have to forget about that, because like, well, how did I know besides that the guy basically essentially told me that he was interested? How did I know that he could be interested? Like, language, and it was chemistry, and it was like dance, and like all of the, and like it was the environment. It was at a place like a bar where people, you know, were dancing at like 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. Like that's a particular, and that's not a context that with. So I think, John, you just have to forget about that, and like don't fixate on how I knew with that person, because I don't think that's going to be your route to go. But I do think that you can take a page out of that guy's book and just maybe try to be more direct and upfront, and if that doesn't work, then that's just not the person for you, and you can talk to somebody else.
Exactly. But moving on, we have continuing our trend to steal from the Married Man Show, one of their longtime emailers has sent in a question. This is from JP from New Jersey. Hi, broads. I'm really enjoying the show, so please keep up the good work. My broad question is if you can offer any suggestion for a friend of mine. She is putting together a bachelorette party, but the only hitch is one of the girls is a minor. I was looking for one broad wisdom with suggestions for activities that they could do that does not exclude the underage girl. I feel confident in your suggestions compared to the wisdom from the Married Man podcast, especially without Taffy's input. Thanks, JP from New Jersey. JP also wants us to know that he is trying to score some major brownie points with this gorgeous woman in his condo complex. So we've got to make some good advice here.
Well, just so happens, I have some good advice.
Go for it.
Having just recently planned a bachelorette party that would have totally been inclusive for minors.
I was there.
You were there. You were there. our dear friend got married, and we did escape the room, and it was so much fun, and there was no drinking whatsoever before and after, but not during. I think sort of activity-driven bachelorettes is a good way to equal the playing field. When my friend got married several years back, her younger sister was still a minor. And we went to, it doesn't exist anymore, but there used to be this place on the Lower East Side called Lucky Chang's. It was a drag show / Chinese restaurant. And actually Laverne Cox was our hostess for the evening. And she was awesome. She was so great. Like, you know, it was still kind of fun and felt kind of like special and risque, but it was definitely because it was a restaurant like there and didn't feel like they were inhibiting
that's awesome.
The people that can drink. Because I think that's the key to making a minor feel included in the festivities. It's not like bringing it down to their level. It's bringing it down to a level that no one feels like they're being gypped out of a good time.
Yes. And that was a great bachelorette party that you threw.
Hey.
So, like, I'm just still stuck on you, like, meeting Laverne Cox. Like,
oh, I didn't necessarily meet her, but I shared a room. I was in the same room as her and shared her air.
Yo, that is some rarefied air there. That is,
yeah.
Wow. Seriously, man, you have shared some air.
He's taking deeper breaths. I have shared some air. Hashtag episode title.
Yeah, shared some air. I have to say.
wow.
Another good idea for a bachelorette party is if you can find a spa that has like mani-pedis massages or whatever, it's going to be a little bit pricey, but that's something that everybody can do. And you can order a bottle of champagne, and once you're in there, they're probably not going to card you. And then if the underage person doesn't have to drink, you know, whatever, if they are, but I also think that that's a great idea too. So there are definitely some options. The key is with underage people, find an event that you could do without drinking or drinking without being carded. And then the before and after have to be something that it's a restaurant or something where the people that are old enough to drink can drink and the people that are young enough aren't going to get carded that they can't go into it. That's the key.
Well, absolutely. And it's like, when was it ever decided that drinking had to be the main event? Like, theoretically, the bride is an interesting person that has a lot of hobbies and things she enjoys. So why does drinking have to be the main event?
Exactly.
Like, why can't you find an activity and make that be the main thing? And then the drinking is sort of I hate to use the word lubricant, but lubricant.
We all love a good lubricant, though.
Yeah, for the fun facilitating. Ugh, I hate that word.
Yeah?
Yeah, it just doesn't sound nice when it
rolls
off out of your mouth.
I actually kind of enjoy it.
All right, I think we have another email from Dan.
Yeah, all right. So it says, "Hello, broads. I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to your podcast so far. It is both funny and insightful. I found the part of episode 2 where Shandy was highlighting the anachronisms of modern marriage to be thought-provoking on multiple levels. As someone who, while being divorced twice, thinks that there is a decent possibility he'll find someone great and do it again, and I plan to have as little to do with the marriage industrial complex as possible. I am currently planning on having a friend of my father's make a Lake Superior agate, the best one I found in the wild, into a ring someday. Since that diamond shit is a fucking monstrous joke. Amen, brother."
Cool. That is pretty fucking cool.
I love that. I too am on the diamonds or shit game. But I digress. I'm currently sort of dating again after several years of not. Colleen can elaborate on this. And while I feel I'm doing okay and don't currently need advice, I do have one question. There are a few things that are sort of deal breakers for me. I think that they are reasonable, but I'm wondering if such things are narcissistic. I basically just want someone adventurous enough to do the wild things I do, open-minded enough where we can watch something like old Japanese samurai movies without her automatically thinking it's stupid, and some who just won't take it for granted. Well, these things are all, in a way, a reaction to failed relationships. Do you guys think that I'm making this about me and being unrealistic, or am I just learning from my mistakes and trying to have a formula for long-term success? I'm 35, and I think I have more than enough time to get it right.
Amen, brother.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, you do. Thanks for listening. Keep up the good work, Dan. P.S. Every year I come back from Raleigh, my local friends always question me about whether or not Colleen is my lover. Since I'm always taking excellently obnoxious photos with her, among other lovable ones. I'm okay with that, since she's beautiful. Aww. And I love her. Don't we all? And it's fine to say that here in public, because let's be honest, rather than listening to her podcast, her husband is probably catching those Pokemon with his still in box. You're a funny one, Dan.
Okay, first of all.
So, Dan, watch out. I was going to say that Jay probably actually is listening to this, because I listened to the last Married Man show, and he said it was his favorite new podcast.
He is actually listening to this. Jay. Last week, like, he was super anxious, like, when is it going to be out? When is it going to be out? When is it going to be out? Like, I want to listen to it. So I had to upload it special for him so he could listen to it. So that was super adorable. It was. And then he was just like, I agree with Shandy. And I was like, on what? And he was like, everything. And I was like,
wow. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah. Fuck you, Jay.
Fuck you, Jay.
Agrees with me on everything. Yes, I agree with you about that.
That said, yes. But before we do that, I do want to point out that Jay did download the Pokemon Go, and he was chasing Pokemon in our bedroom. Before I was like, I think there's one by the window.
I downloaded Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
I figured I was going to jump on the trend. I'm always the last one to everything. I can say more than later.
All right, so Dan's question.
No, I don't think he's being narcissistic. I think deal breakers are a part of being a self-respecting human being, and those all sound perfectly reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I agree.
I think it goes back to the article that we were reading earlier about things to not give a fuck about anymore. And one of them is, like, stop giving a fuck about, like, compromising yourself for...
not giving a fuck.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously you can't have too many, but if he wants somebody who's adventurous and open-minded and, like, occasionally likes to watch movies with him, that seems completely reasonable. It kind of begs the question, like, what is everyone's deal breakers? Because, like, that is kind of interesting. Like, you know, everyone has their things, but I feel like, Dan, you're doing just fine. Yeah, and you should be picky.
It's not even picky.
It's just knowing what you want in a partner. Right.
Yeah. And not settling for just anyone. Because, like, if you're... again, the things he listed, adventurous, open-minded, wanting to watch, like, what was that? Like, some sort of, like, Japanese movie every now and then? That does not seem... you know, if you're an adventurous person, of course you're going to be... first of all, you're going to be attracted to other adventurous people. And anyone needs to have something that, like, activities that they share with their partner. So that seems like it makes total sense.
Absolutely.
Just not taking it for granted. That should be everyone's deal breaker, that you want to be with someone that wants to be with you and that values you. Like, that's number one. That's smart. I applaud you and your deal breakers, Dan. I think they are great.
Definitely.
Dan is good people. I have to also applaud the fact that you're still out there and you haven't given up on love and all of that. So... yay, Dan.
All right, next email?
Next
email. All right. Well, our next email is from someone named Lukewarm. And Lukewarm says, Colleen, Shandy, and Amanda. Amanda, first and foremost, happy belated birthday.
Woohoo!
Thanks. That's
my great. My question is about physical chemistry and compatibility. I've been seeing someone now for a few months, and in many ways, it's the most adult, fulfilling relationship I've had so far, except in the bedroom. I've had an experience between my partner and I, and the chemistry isn't always there. He considers himself, quote-unquote, half a virgin, still because while he's had sex in the past, he hasn't gotten off from it. There is potential it could be more of a mental blocker, as he's rather conservative and a good Catholic boy. But I'm still trying to learn as much as I can to ensure that we're both having a good time. I know Shandy is a fan of Dan Savage. It's a fucking true story right there. Who says, sex always wins, meaning if I'm not sexually satisfied, I should leave the relationship. But I would love to hear, one, how important chemistry is versus compatibility, and two, if you have any advice so that way we can improve our sex life to be more fulfilling for both of us. Thanks, Lukewarm.
That's tough.
That is. Yes. First of all, what the fuck does half a virgin mean?
Actually, I think, like, this is something that I could talk about for, like, hours also, is the definition of sex, because...
Go for it.
Since the too long don't read version is, like, what is the definition of sex? Like, is it, are we talking about penetrative sex? Because, like, that's very heteronormative and, like, phallocentric, honestly. So is it, like, if you have something in your pussy, like, are you no longer a virgin? So, like, does that mean that when I first put in a tampon, I became no longer a virgin? Like, is it
very specific. Particular,
is it a... Well, okay, but still, it goes along those lines. Like, is it specifically when a penis is put into a vagina? Like, in that case, if you are for like a lesbian and you don't use dildos, or, you know, like, then are you like forever a virgin? Like, that, so that's a problem. Is it something that could potentially get you off? Because then, like, that opens up the door to a lot of different things that don't have to do with. Specifically for women, like, definitely don't always have to do with penetration. So, like, I think that's where this question is coming from. Like, it's been inserted, or he's been inserted into, depending on the circumstance, but hasn't gotten off on it. So I guess I think that's why this person calls himself half a virgin. It's, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, it seems like there's maybe, like, that doesn't make this person happy if they're calling themselves half of a virgin.
Yeah.
And I think, like, mental block, sure, maybe. I think Catholic boy, good Catholic boy, that could take a long time to, you know, to undo, like, certain damage. But I don't, yeah, like, maybe, I don't know, like, maybe sex therapy for that, though. Because, like, really, if you're never getting off, especially as a dude, where it's much more just mechanical and, like, not as difficult. I mean, I definitely have heard about that happening, but...
I just want to point out that I don't know if calling yourself half a virgin means that you're unhappy, or it means that you've got shame, or just it
yeah, oh, I think,
or
it's,
it means like you've had sex
in that. It's a loaded, yeah, it's a loaded thing.
Yeah.
It's a loaded, very word. Loaded thing. Like, is he gay and he's had only sex with a woman, so he's half a virgin because he hasn't filled himself, like, to his full sexual desire? Like,
but it's, I guess, a personal label that he's put upon himself.
Right,
so it's
right,
clearly
right, right.
Something internal that is happening, and perhaps right. That's
I
not
feel, yes, I feel like, well, that's more an emotional thing than a physiological thing.
Oh, yeah.
It could be, I mean, it could be a little bit of either. Like, who, like, I feel like we don't have enough information to really say, but probably, like, the emotional, mental.
Right. So, do you think that sex always wins, where if you're not having sex in a relationship, you should just leave it because you're not satisfied?
I do. No, I agree that if you're not sexually compatible, then you're probably doomed to failure. Unless you can find sexual fulfillment elsewhere, because I do think that it's, like, a key element to any relationship. Like, I think, like, put, like, add that to the list of Dan's deal breakers. I'm not gonna edit his list, but, like, I think for me, like, yeah, that would be a deal breaker if they're not sexually compatible. I think there are ways that they can find sexual compatibility if they're not. I think there are a couple of things to do. Like, I think first of all, like, communication is key. Talk about it with this person. Like, is it something that you can work on? Is this a new relationship? Then, like, of course, it's going to take a while to, like, kind of hit your stride and, like, really be comfortable with each other and be able to talk to each other.
I don't know. Some relationships, you know, hit their sexual stride and they peak right away.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Well, yeah.
So it's not the case here, for
clearly,
sure, because they're saying this.
It's not.
This lukewarm is telling us that that's not the case, but that could be worked on and that could be improved. And so for some couples, maybe that just takes a while, because the person is saying that they're compatible, but there's no chemistry. So I guess, like, what I read into that is that, like, everything else about the relationship is great, but there's, like, not as much, like, sexual chemistry or tension or excitement or whatever. So I think that they need to talk about that together. And if it's a new relationship, like, I don't know, maybe you duck out now if it's not worth it. But if you really like this person, well, I'm saying if you really like this person, then maybe you stick it out and you talk about it. Maybe you see a sex therapist. And maybe you come to an agreement on other ways that you can feel sexually fulfilled. Like, that's a possibility too, if that's something that they're open to. But I don't know. I think, like, it's something that has to be addressed and be resolved. Because otherwise, if it's not, then I would say definitely, like, the sex is going to win. Like, you're not – people who are sexually frustrated are not happy people.
But I think that's sort of an interesting distinction that's worth clarifying a bit more. Sort of when you say sex wins, that I think it is a sex and communication and sexual frustration comes because you are not communicating your issues, and hence that's why you become frustrated. So I think every couple is different. And yeah, there are probably couples out there that live an entire life happy-ish and sex isn't really a thing. But I think, you know, you sort of really zeroed in on the most important part of it, which is the communication. It sounds like there is a little bit of emotional baggage that's sort of coming with the sexual issues. And it's talking about it. It's like, if this is really an adult relationship and it's compatible enough that it's worth fighting for, then yeah, that's you figure out how to work on it. And right. I think that's all I have to say. So...
And so I keep going back to the sentence, there is a gap in experience between my partner and I, and the chemistry isn't always there. And I feel like maybe that chemistry isn't there because your partner, who considers himself half a virgin and hasn't had a lot of sexual experience, I think it's just an insecurity issue. Like, seriously, when I read this, that is what I think. I think that your partner feels very insecure about their experience, and that's totally normal. I mean, we've all been there. Like, I've been there. I mean, I'll fucking say it. I'll say it. I've been there. Like, I recommend
someone
Google
who is half
sometimes.
A virgin.
Yes, like sometimes
if they're half a virgin, they're inexperienced. So if you're inexperienced, you're going to be insecure.
Exactly, because especially the older that we get, and I don't know how old Lukewarm is, but I feel like the older you get, the more experience you get, and the better, like, you become, just because you're more, you know, you're just get more confidence. I would say have some patience with them and have some just, you know, confidence, like give them some encouragement. Encouragement. That's the right word that I'm looking for. I say have patience and talk it through with your partner. That's what I've got.
But no, that's interesting. Like, I didn't want to come back to what does that mean, chemistry versus compatibility? Like, what does that mean that the chemistry is not always there? Does that mean that you're not attracted to him? Because if you're not attracted to him, then, like, that's not really a problem you can fix if it's not there. Because going back to what the line that Colleen was reading, it was gap in experience. Then, yeah, if you are the more experienced one, then it's kind of your job to be the teacher a little bit. And, you know, being the teacher includes, like, modeling behavior. And so that could be, like, showing this person how to communicate about what they want. Because it can be really difficult, especially, like, the less experienced we are, the more difficult it is to actually, like, be able to say what we want and feel comfortable enough. I mean, and this person might not even know what they want if they're that sexually inexperienced. So you're going to have to kind of experiment. Experiment together, and then change also the chemistry, and it can change just like the entire sexual relationship. So things could change. I don't know. I mean, I would love for this person, for Lukewarm, to check in with us again and just let us know how it's going, because I could see it kind of going either way. But I think, like, if you're invested enough in the relationship and you're in, you know, something that you really want to fight for, then do, and let's see how it goes.
Yes. Exactly. I am going to read one more email, and then we have a lot of feedback. We're going to save the rest for the next episode. This next email is from Illyrio. Oh, Illyrio is one of my favorite people in the entire world. Hello! I'm also reading that hello in the voice he intended it to be. Hello! I'm loving your show. I hope to have a new episode each week that I can listen to while running. Illyrio just started a new podcast. Oh shit! I'm the worst person in the world. Hold on, I actually just subscribed to it right before. Oh, okay.
It's the Chunky Runner Show.
How did you know?
Oh, what a great title!
Oh shit! Host of that, the Chunky Runner Show. Fuck.
What
I was
a great
gonna say,
title.
I just pulled
oh,
it up
fun.
On iTunes. Yes. So Illyrio is the host of the Chunky Runner podcast, Chunky Runner Show. You're the worst, Shandy. The host of the Chunky Runner Show says, "Hello. I'm loving your show. I hope to have a new episode out each week while I can listen to while running. Question, serious question. Would you relocate to a different, probably better country if your partner had a better job lined up there? Would the length of stay make a difference in your decision? Not serious question. What kind of spoiler would be grounds for an immediate divorce? Can't wait to hear your answers."
Mm.
I can answer the second question quicker. What kind of spoiler? So one time we had the Survivor Kara Moen finale and I was in an airport.
In a real place? What?
And I got off the airplane and immediately spoiled Jay on who won Survivor. And he was so mad that I thought that at that time it might have been grounds for divorce. So I know that. Like, he was really pissed. And I was like, I got off the plane, and I was like, what? I mean, Cochran won. Like, didn't you know that? And he was like, yeah,
I think
I
everyone
that.
Knew that. But
he was like, I know that because you told me that 2 hours ago, so thank you
is.
For that shit.
Still not convinced that's a real place you're talking about.
It was a bad thing.
Survivor, Narnia.
It was a bad thing. Caramon.
Who won Narnia?
Survivor, Narnia.
It was a final three.
But I don't know what spoiler would be a grounds for immediate divorce. I suppose if somebody had spoiled me on the end of Breaking Bad or Lost, that might have been grounds for immediate divorce.
I mean, we're talking like actual TV spoilers?
Or movie or something, yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm just not enough into TV and movies.
I think I do a good enough job accidentally spoiling things myself. That, like, you know, you're like scrolling around on Facebook and you're like, oh shit. Oh, stop reading now. So I couldn't fault someone else. Yeah, I don't think there is anything.
Fair enough. But as far as his serious question, would you relocate to a different, potentially better country if your partner had a better job lined up there? Would the yes. length of stay make a difference? Shandy, I think you're the best person to answer this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, in a heartbeat. I would wonder about my career, like, what's going on with my career, but yeah. For the right amount of money, I would move literally anywhere, and I'm also totally up for an adventure, so, yeah, that sounds great.
What if you had children and family there, and you had to uproot everybody?
Probably still, yes, because the kids are going to get, like, potentially learn another language, like, learn about another culture. I think there's a lot of benefit. There are obviously places I wouldn't move. Like, I'm not moving to Saudi Arabia, for example. Like, that's just not, not in the stars.
Okay, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Oh, come on. No.
I know. I'm fucking with you completely.
There are definitely places where, like, I would not feel comfortable moving, but for the most part, yeah, totally. With a family, too. I mean, especially since I don't have kids, it makes it even that much easier to be like, yeah, there's no better time than now. Hell yeah, why not?
That's true, but Aliru has children, so if this is a serious question, I know that that's probably a factor.
It'll be good for the kids, though. It'll be totally good for the kids. So much benefit.
Like what?
Depends on how old the kids are.
Like, learning a foreign language and learning a different culture and, like, understanding at that young age that things are culturally dependent and, like, having that sort of, like, understanding of how things are different in places, I just think that that's, like, a really invaluable lesson that some of us learn later on in life, hopefully, but, like, to know that as have that be part of your upbringing, I think is amazing.
Yeah. That's yeah, that's very awesome. Especially if they had a better job lined up, like then the potentials, you know, the opportunities just, you know, totally grow from there. The length of stay may make a difference if, you know, it was something where it was going to be indefinite versus, you know, a year or two. a year or two might make my decision easier just because I have the option of the out if I hated it. But at the same time, if I had friends in that area, or if it was just going to be just exponentially just better for my family, then I think that I would. I don't think that that would be a deal breaker.
Yeah. No, same. But I think for me, the length would be a big deciding factor.
What's the length that would be ideal for you?
I think shorter would be better, a couple years. I think that would be more enticing to me, just because I have a huge support system here, and I've always kind of loved, you know, I'm 2 hours from where I grew up, so if God forbid something happened, mm-hmm. I'd be on a train within an hour, and I could be home within 2.
Yeah. No, that's huge.
There's something really comforting about that, particularly like when all my grandparents were still alive. Mm-hmm. You know, as someone, you know, who works in television, I was always like, I don't want to go out to LA because I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah. If something happened to my grandparents, I could not get home fast enough. I mean, that's obviously not an issue now. But if it was like for a year or two, I'd be like, okay, yeah. Because we can always come back. Like, life will always be there, but indefinitely is kind of scary.
It is scary.
You know, and then it's sort of like, yeah, if you don't know anyone else there, like, I don't make friends easy. Mm-hmm. I don't. I'm right. Super shy.
Well, I don't know,
and it's like, so what would I do? What would I do? Could I get a job there? Like,
I don't think Illyrio if my is whole life... shy, so just knowing Illyrio, he's one of my favorite people in the world.
That's true. That's true. I'm making it all about me. I'm not really giving advice.
No. You're giving great advice, actually. I'm somebody that moved. I mean, North Carolina from New York is probably a different country or whatever.
It's far enough. You gotta get on a plane to get there.
Speaking from experience, personal experience, I always had the worry, like, what would happen if somebody in my family was sick, somebody was dying, somebody was, you know, just needed, you know, somebody there. And I have to say that in today's day and age, there are a multitudes of just avenues that you can communicate with family that lives far away. Zach and I Skype with my parents all the time. Yeah, it's a 10-hour drive or whatever, but, like, they come down there, we go up there, but... I would say that the biggest issue would have been like family being sick or something. And my personal experience that most people know was, you know, my grandfather was sick and I was able to get up there in time for him to pass away. And I was able to get up there with a week's notice. And I feel that you could have a parent that dies of a heart attack or whatever, and you're not there, but if you're going to live in the same city, you're also not going to be there. So it's mm-hmm. getting that's there a plane ride away versus a car ride away. I feel like if you have a better job, you have to do what's best for your family. And that's like my hard stance is it's your family. You have a responsibility to your family, like your immediate family that you are straight up like racing or a part of, like your intermediate family. And I will always say now, you need to do what's best for your family, because everything else is not as hard, it's not as complicated as you think it's going to be. It's not as complicated as you think it's going to be. Like there is always a way, and you need to do what you think is going to be best for your children. And that's that. All right, I'm done.
Cool.
All right, so we have a couple of other emails and voicemails, and we are going to save those for next time that we record, just because we want to make sure that we have stuff to talk about. No, we're going to save those for next time that we record, just because we ran a little long this time. I just want to, before I forget, I need to say a special thank you to some of our patrons at a specific level, which... you can also get a thank you if you want to sponsor at a specific level. And that is Brad from Chicago, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Does anybody have anything else to say before we go?
Yeah, I had just one thing that I wanted to follow up on from last time about last names in France when
yes!
you get married.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. Yes.
So I forgot to ask my husband, actually, but I did. I used the good old Google.
Oh, wise sage Google.
The official website of French administration. The question is, can a married woman keep her maiden name? And the answer is yes. When she gets married, a woman keeps her maiden name. Nevertheless, marriage allows each spouse, whether it be the man or woman, to use the name of the other spouse or like hyphenate. But that's voluntary choice and not at all an obligation. And in any case, the person will keep their family name, which is like written on their birth certificate. And this will remain their official name and will always be written on their papers. The spouse's name or the hyphenated name will only be like a name that you use. What do we call that in English? Like when you just use that name for like whatever, you know,
professional,
in your public life or whatever. Yeah, essentially, it's a name
assumed.
That you can.
Is that assumed name?
Okay, that sounds good. Like it's not the name that's on your passport, but it's the name that you kind of go by. So yeah, that's what I was thinking was that in France, each person, like legally speaking, on their paperwork, they keep their maiden name, the name that they were born with. So there you go.
All right.
The more you know.
Yes.
Anyways, thank you everybody that wrote in. We really super appreciate it. Like we said earlier, if you could leave us a review on iTunes or just keep listening. We want people to keep listening. That's it.
Yeah, both those things, though. If you do both those things, that would be really, really great.
Yes.
But yeah, that's it. Does anybody else have anything for right now? We are undecided currently if we're going to have an episode next week. I'm going to be in San Diego for Comic-Con. So we're going to try to do something maybe before we leave, but that is very up in the air. So if not, we will see you in 2 weeks.
And yeah, so hopefully, even if we do have to take a week-long break, but I'm very excited to come back and talk to you ladies again.
Yay!
Likewise. Always a pleasure, girls.
Always a pleasure. All right, so I guess on that note, thank you guys for listening to the broadcast. I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And
there's a kitty.
Yeah, I was going to say, and until next time, Shandy's kitty is here. But yeah, thank you guys. Oh, that sounded bad. But Shandy's kitty is always here.
Ready. Can you really hear her purring?
Yes.
There's totally cat purring.
Incredible.
All right, so.
Yes.
Woohoo.
All right,
guys.
On that note,
happy birthday, Amanda. I hope you had a great birthday
podcast.
Yes,
happy birthday.
Woohoo.
Thank you. This is the best birthday podcast ever.
32.
A
good year.
Good night, guys. Peace out.
Good night.
Bye.